Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for CEO Exclusive, brought to you by Annona Enterprises.
All right, we're here live from the Vistage Executive Summit here in Atlanta at the Cobb Galleria. And with us, we have Seku, who was presenting on Stage Might just a few minutes ago. Is that right?
Absolutely. Trying to get mighty.
Yeah. And John, you've been talking to some folks here at the event as well.
The energy is just incredible. Your presentation was fantastic. Give our listeners just a snapshot of you just blew up the room. That was awesome. And we just want to, maybe you can just share a couple of the highlights of your talk.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. I love working with Vistage. It's a great community. And, the theme this year is Leading with 2020 Vision. And I really wanted to start off the day by not only injecting energy into the room, but also getting them to think about the power of their voice connected with their vision. You know, the vision is only as compelling as the voice. And so really helping them to unlock their stage might by unlocking the 85% of dormant power within each of them to become better communicators. And so it's really about helping them to get mighty on any stage that they touch, small boardroom presentations, large book tours, entrepreneurs, executives, whether you're talking to your staff, your investors, or your customers, you should approach it like you are going to perform the mess out of that speech so that you can kill it just like any master performer would.
Why are we so nervous on stage? And what can we do to kind of unlock that power?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I was so nervous. I wasn't thinking about the fight or flight. You know, we're wired with nervousness, and it helps keep us alive at times. But it's not keeping us alive on stage. You know, you heard me joke about the study that was done discovering that public speaking outranked spiders and death as people's primary fear, and how bananas that is, you know? I always tell people the goal with nervousness is not to get rid of nervousness. There's an executive that I work with, actually a member of the Vistage community, who was just saying, I don't worry about getting nervousness. I just do what I do and I have no nervousness whatsoever. And I say, you're probably not accessing an emotional power that you have, because nerves are good. You know, if I'm nervous on stage and I've learned how to harness it, then it allows me to appear in the moment. It allows me to be present. I fear that I may make a mistake, and therefore that shows up with the audience as he's in the moment. It's not a canned rote speech that we're watching on autopilot. If I'm not nervous, I'm probably on autopilot. If I'm too nervous, it's debilitating. And so you want to be able to, as I say, give your nerves a W-2 and make them work for you.
That's great advice. Thank you.
Well, Seku, I unfortunately... Seku, sorry.
Yes, no,
I was on the air, so I wasn't able to see your presentation, but I wanted to chat with you a little bit about it, because we actually had somebody who liked your presentation so much, they skipped their interview. He was saying, I don't want to do the interview.
I apologize and I'm happy at the same time.
That's great. So tell us a little bit about your process for accessing your stage might. So obviously you're a very polished and accomplished speaker yourself. So as you're accessing your stage might, what do you actually do to prepare yourself?
It's interesting. I was literally just talking about that with one of the attendees who was talking about nervousness. And I was saying, if you think about a performer, right? So you hear me talk about getting you to perform your speech. I want to bring some Beyonce to your boardroom, as I say, right? So if you think about a Beyonce or any performer, a dancer, an actor, an improv artist, a comedian, they have a routine that they go through backstage. If you walk backstage before a play, actors are me, right? They're warming up their vehicle, their mouth, right? They're performing, they're getting into character. If you go backstage before a dance routine, they're warming up their bodies and stretching and running through the moves. Any performer goes through this. If you go backstage before a speaking event, the speakers probably aren't backstage. They're sitting out at a table, networking with John, drinking cold water, and watching the speaker before them. There's no sense of a ritual of how to optimize their performance like a performer has. And so I create a rock. I have each of my trainees create a rock star ritual. What's the ritual that puts you in the optimal mental, physical, spiritual, emotional state to create optimal performance on stage, to inspire optimal performance from your listeners, right? And that can be things like, you know, one of the things that I do in my course is that I had videos sent in from performers from around the country in different genres that said, here's what I do. I go through as an actor and I touch and sit in each of the chairs in the room so that when I come on stage, it's my house. I own this house and I'm not surprised. I go through a 12-step martial arts routine so that I tap into my warrior spirit. All these wacky rock star rituals that allow people to be optimal performers on stage. And I want speakers to begin to think, what brings out my rock star before I get up there? What allows me the physical, emotional, and spiritual confidence to get up there and know that I own this space, nothing can take me out? Make that part of your ritual, and then you'll have access to everything that you've been training and practicing and rehearsing that nervousness would otherwise sever you from.
And what's your rock star ritual?
Oh, it's a lot of different things. One of my favorites, though, that I always tell people is, if I'm backstage, I always pull a little sliver of the curtain aside, and I look at the audience, and I'll start to deliver my speech from backstage to that audience as I'm, you know, just whispering. There might be another speaker on stage, but I'm looking at the audience in that front row, second row, because I don't want the first time that I see that audience and connect with them to be on stage. So I create a connection with them while I'm backstage by looking at them, seeing who's smiling, who's laughing, who's sitting there with no expression on their face, who's checking their text. Therefore, when I step on stage, the guy checking his text or the woman smiling don't distract me anymore. I've already had a connection with them.
So we're here today with literally hundreds of CEOs and business leaders.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are, you know, theme today is Vision 2020.
Yeah.
All of them are going to go back and either recalibrate or have some thoughts around what's that vision going to be, mm-hmm. and how do I communicate it?
Mm-hmm.
You gave us some really great things to think about in that, but talk about that moment when you're really trying to connect the vision that the leader understands in their being, this is where I want to bring my company, and how do I communicate it to my staff?
Yeah.
You know, are there specific points or steps that you can give some people, you know, really practical advice on that? Because
sure.
That's what everybody's going back to their office thinking about.
Sure,
today.
Sure. Well, first and foremost, I would say you've got to talk your walk. Everyone tells you to walk your talk. Right. And sometimes we get so wrapped up into that we forget how to talk our walk. You are the leader. You're the voice piece of that vision. And it is brilliant in your head. It is masterful. It is pure 100% guaranteed success in your head.
But it has to get out of your head.
Get out of your head. And it has to get out of your head just as brilliantly as it is in your head. Right. And so you have to sit back and think about, what are the emotions around the vision? What is the energy of the vision? What is, if the vision, if you were to personify that vision, how would that vision look? How would it talk? How would it walk? How would it connect with people, right? How would it move in front of people? What would it be loud? Would it be intense? Would it be soft in a whisper? Would it be right in front of you in your personal space? Would it be on a big stage shouting, right? Because if, in a sense, that's the culture that you're trying to create as well. So if you think about the vision as a reflection of what you want your audience, your attendees, your staff to embody, you have to embody that first. So as you think about talking your walk, how do I become this? And how would this vision talk? How would it move? And now let me start to become that. And that's going to move you into some uncomfortable places. So you're going to have to step outside of yourself. You're going to say, it's a very passionate vision, but I'm not a very passionate presenter. How do I start working on presenting passion more effectively so that I can get people passionate? Because that's the vision. This is our current company culture. This is the company culture that I'm trying to create a shift in our culture so that we can reach this aspiration. So how do I shift that in me first? So that if I want to become whether it's more animated, whether it's more confident, whether it's more compelling in my language use, whether it's being a storyteller and saying we want to move away from information and more to inspiration and storytelling and so forth, whatever that is, I need to work on those things myself so that I can embody that and personify that. The quicker I began doing that, then I can expect those folks to follow me and that vision because the vision has been personified through me. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Sure does.
So, I mean, as you think about working with CEOs, typically, mm-hmm. You talk about bringing Beyonce into the boardroom. That's mm-hmm. may not necessarily be comfortable or like a brand match mm-hmm. for a lot of CEOs who want to be perceived a particular way, mm-hmm. So do you ever get some pushback from CEOs who are like, I'm a serious person. I want to be taken seriously.
That's right. And then I tell them, tell a joke. Do you still want to be taken seriously when you're telling a joke? Isn't the point of the joke to be funny? Then why would you approach humor with your serious persona, right? And now, talk to your kids. Read them a bedtime story. I was just talking to a Vistage executive the other day, and we were talking about a particular technique, and I was just saying, children are some of the best acting coaches that we have in our lives, right? So the stage mic technique that I talk about, act naturally, where you really begin to think of an actor playing a character, right? And this person was like, well, I wouldn't talk about that. I wouldn't move in this way. I wouldn't use those vocal inflections. And I go, but you're telling a story. So now tell a story to your children. And if you tell a story to your children and you tell it like a Vistage executive, your children will look at you like you're crazy. Like, I don't want you to tell me any stories then. I'll just go to sleep on my own. Thank you. You have to use sound effects. You have to, and then they went way, way up, right? And then I say, now just give me 15 to 25% of that for your audience. Because children are human beings and they grow up to be adults, all still wired the same. We still want to feel way, way up more than we hear it, more than we want to hear it, mm-hmm. right? I want to see you struggle with trying to get over something as you're telling us about how we need to get over the obstacle that it's in our way. I want to feel the struggle that you have and watch you resolve it. I want to watch your success. I want to watch you conquer that mountain. Then you inspire the humanity in me. But we're so worried about the rigid box that we've placed professionalism in. And competency and authority in. We've put it in this tiny box, and that's why everyone delivers it the same way. Standing there, all that matters is my suit and my tie and my resume. And I say, forget your resume. Let your resume be in the introduction. You deserve to be here. I have to work with executives all the time, and I tell them, stop trying to prove that you deserve to be there. Right? You already deserve to be there. So own that. And now just go connect with them. Because they didn't come here saying, prove that you deserve to be here. They came to saying, connect with me.
This is just fantastic. The connection that you had with your audience was just remarkable. You started your company in 2002. What was the initial spark? Was there a moment when you said, I can do this, and I'm going to start doing it?
Yes. I remember the exact moment, like it was yesterday. It was... I had been pursuing music and acting and so forth, and that led me to spoken word venues where I fell in love with spoken word. And then I decided that I wanted to be a full-time poet, and I had no idea what that was. There was no model for that, really, except a few handful of poets out there. And so I finally decided, after I was a fifth grade teacher, decided that I was ready after 4 years of teaching. I was going to quit my job, release my CD, and go be a poet full-time. So I quit my job on a Friday. That following Wednesday, I had a CD release show. And my CD wasn't even out yet. I didn't have it in my hands until like 3 o'clock. The distributor called me and said, come get the CDs. They're ready. And I ran down there. I picked them up. I came back to the show. I was late getting to the show. The guy was like, you're on in 20 minutes. Where have you been? I paced back and forth backstage, like practicing. I hopped on stage. I did one of the best sets of my career at the time. And I stepped out on the street afterwards, and the crowd gathered around me, and I made my rent in CD sales that night. And I remember when the crowd cleared, the dark street on Santa Monica, and I stood there by myself, and I looked up at the sky, and I said, I can do this.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sekou, you spend a lot of time giving people great advice, great action items as to what they can do to improve their business, improve their stage might. What's the best piece of business advice that you ever received?
Oh, wow. Oh, Lord, there's so much. So much. There's like a scroll right now, and I'm trying to catch one. I would probably, you know, there have been pieces of advice that I've received over the course of my career that have been exactly what I needed for that season, you know. So there's some that I'm thinking of that's literally like what I need to hear right now. But one of the ones that I can think that I continually use came from a mentor and just as much of a friend, Norman Lear, TV filmmaker and producer. And I did one of my first tours that was produced by Norman. And as my partner and I sat down and were just, you know, in a boardroom, Norman, Steve Connell, and myself sitting there trying to figure out how to, it was a voting tour. So the goal was, how do we inspire people to vote? But it was a nonpartisan, nonprofit voting tour. So it was, we can't tell them who to vote for, what to vote for, get into any of the political issues. We have to just inspire them around civic engagement in general. I consider that one of the best training grounds for what it is that I do now with corporations, where I get underneath the fact that it's you're in the hospitality industry and you're in the tech industry and you're a car company and you're diabetes and, you know, all of that. And it's, what are the universal stories that inspire all of us as human beings, as business people, as entrepreneurs and executives? And so the advice that came when we were struggling with writing and this is my perspective on voting and this is my perspective on this particular issue, and as a black man with voting, I have this history and you have a different history, and I'm really struggling with how to do that. And Norman would say a simple phrase, hang a lantern on it. If you're struggling with something and it's in your way and it feels like it's an impediment, instead of trying to figure out how to avoid it, how to push it into the darkness and the shadows, hang a lantern on it. Because the exposure of whatever it is you're struggling with is probably going to connect with your audience more than you actually trying to push it away. So people try to appear perfect on stage, as an example, mm-hmm. right? Instead, I say, the reason why in stage might I teach you to be mightier than your mistakes is to say, hang a lantern on that mistake. So if someone comes to me and says, I struggle as a speaker because I have an accent, great. Let's hang a lantern on that accent. Let's make some jokes about it. Let's talk about your struggle with communication. Then you've humanized yourself to your audience, and now we can move forward. No one's sitting back and thinking to themselves, does he know that I can't understand him? No, of course he knows. He just hung a lantern on it. So it's diffused now, and we can get to the meat of what it is, the message that he has for me, the way that this person might be able to, may be able to impact and transform my life. So hang a lantern on it.
That's fantastic. I really appreciate, Soyini and I appreciate your spending so much time with us. This has been great. Really incredible insight from you. And I know that all the attendees really enjoyed the day today. How can we learn more about your company? How can people who want to increase their stage might get mighty and how can we hire you?
That's right. You can reach out to me via my website, which is sekouandrews.com. This S like Sam, EKOU Andrews.com, and that will give you information for both engaging me as a speaker, as a poetic voice. And for those of you that weren't listening to the presentation, a poetic voice is a new speaking category that I've created that just fuses inspirational speaking with spoken word poetry. And it helps these organizations deliver their message in a more powerful way. And so if you want to engage me as a poetic voice, certainly reach out to me to book me for that. If you like information on training for yourself individually, I have a virtual VIP training program that works with you virtually one-on-one. I have an online e-course version of Stage Might. If you want sort of just the, I want to work on my own, 5-week course that deals, you know, with all the, dives into all the principles and techniques of Stage Might. And then I also have my Stage Might X, which is the executive group coaching, where I can come into your organization and help you and your team to become more powerful communicators, you know? So lots of ways to work with me. And if you just want to stay inspired, join my mailing list. I have a glow group, a know group, a show group, and each of you guys gets different types of content that keeps you inspired, educated, enlightened, and then lets you know when I'm coming to a city near you to rock the stage and get mighty.
thank you so much for being with us. This has just been so special. And thank you for giving us a voice and helping us to be voiceful, as
you said. Absolutely. My pleasure. It was a pleasure joining you. Also, make sure you follow me at Twitter, at Sekou Andrews at Twitter.
At Sekou Andrews on Twitter.
On Twitter.
Let's do it. Great to be with you.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Aini.
This show is brought to you by Annona Enterprises, where strategy is your access to money and performance. Learn more at annonaenterprises.com.